Hey, one of the things I've been doing this year as a daily devotional is Oswald Sanders. It's been a number of years for me. Sanders or Saunders? Chambers. It's that Kentucky Fried Chicken stuff gets stuck in my mind. And I'm sure he would have a beard like one of the men on Duck Dynasty as well. So this guy, pretty incredible man, was born late in the 1800s, lived to 42. He died of a ruptured appendix right toward the end of World War I in Egypt. And he started this Bible college. I want to say it was in Scotland, might have been in England, I can't remember. But really, a lot of prolific stuff that his wife helped to put together after he passed away. And I was reading today, and I thought, as we prepare to kind of do a share Sunday, and for those of you that have never done this, this is kind of our chance to hear about some of the ministry that the Lord is doing in us and through us, things that we're thankful for. It's very easy to feel like, well, I show up on Sunday and I go, but when we get a chance to share the daily workings of how we're submitting to Christ, what things we're learning, how he's working, it's a pretty special thing. So I want to read something to you, and that'll give you a chance to maybe think if there's something that you wanted to share today about what the Lord's doing in your life, something that's been a blessing, something that would be uplifting. We'll just have an open mic up here. I'll probably sit down here, and then you can come up and share to the glory of God. But I read this morning, and I'm just going to read the tail end of it. But you know how you'll read things over and over and over, and then someday it'll just really strike you? This one hit me like a ton of bricks this morning. And it's November 3rd. Hopefully I have the right date, or that makes this all. It's 3rd? Whew, good thing. Okay. The passion of Christianity comes from deliberately signing away my own rights and becoming a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Until I do that, I will not begin to be a saint. To sum that up, Lord, not what I want, but you want. One student, now he's talking about their Bible training college, one student a year who hears God's call would be sufficient for God to have called the Bible Training College into existence. This college has no value as an organization, not even academically. Its sole value for existence is for God to help himself to our lives. Now let me insert our church in there. This church has no value as an organization. Not even academically, you could put anything you wanted in there. Our sole value for existence is for God to help himself to our lives. Will we allow him to help himself to us? Or are we more concerned with our own ideas of what we are going to be? And I just thought, you know, one of the things I love about our church and I love about our body is people go forth from here intentionally seeking to follow Christ. We have so many people in here that view their lives as a full-time ministry for Christ. As wives, husbands, mothers, fathers, children, at schools, at work, in their neighborhoods, in ministries they're involved with in the church and outside of the church. It is such an incredible thing. I would venture to say that 75 to 80% of the people that attend our church regularly are involved actively giving away their lives to God so that he can use them in all the roles that they have to bless other people. And I believe that that is to be the strength of the church. Not organizations, not programs, those can be fine, but that each one of us has a specific call that we know God has given us to minister to others for him. So today, as you have opportunity, if you want to come up and share some of what the Lord's been doing in you, through you, to his glory, this is a great chance for us to kind of celebrate God's work among us. And I'll bring the podium down even, because it's kind of nice to hide behind this, even though that's Mark's spot, apparently. And there's a microphone here, and let me pray, and we'll have at it. Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace and your patience toward us. Thank you that you delight in us. And even in our processes where we're a little bit resistant or sometimes downright rebellious toward what you might want, we love you and we really do seek as individuals and as a body to bring glory to you. And we pray that we'd march to the beat of your drum, not anyone else's. And we thank you so much for the love that you express to us through the giving of your Son, so that we could be restored to you, so that we could walk in truth and love and grace and express that to others. Father, would you continue to work in each one of us according to your will to help us surrender to you and to follow you and to want what you want more than what we want. And might that be reflected today in the things that we offer as worship to you as we share of what you're doing, of the things that have been a blessing to us, of the things that maybe started out as seeming unconquerable or insurmountable. But as we've looked to you and as we've trusted you as individuals, we've seen you build character and work wonderful situations as only you could out of things that we thought were negative. So, Father, let everything that we share today be something that brings glory and honor and pleasure to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as you're ready. And if there are any more marks in the room, feel free to just kind of...
This may not be real wise for me to come up here today, but one of the things that God's been showing me over the last almost three and a half years, is the importance of living in the now, in the moment, not in the past, not in the future. And I've also been learning that by doing that, I'm more aware of how God works in the lives of the people around me. And that, to be honest, that can be a lot of fun. So I just wanted to share that.
Hey, Carl, before you go.
That's what I said.
Carl's an elder emeritus, and he had to step down because of health conditions that make music, sound, lights, talking, breathing, seeing somewhat painful. What I love about Carl is he hasn't stepped out. He's just found new ways every day to be a blessing. This man looks online and finds incredible articles that he forwards that have impacted me tremendously. Facebook, Carl's all over it. I send Carl my message every week because he's got a seminary background and he's a good thinker, and he sends me back, "Mark, what the heck are you thinking?" as well as, "Yeah, that sounds good." But I'd like, if we could just pray for Carl right now, I would love to see the Lord continue to not just use Carl, but bring kind of a cessation of some of the pain and just the stuff that you get to struggle with daily. And I don't care whether you want it or not, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you for our brother Carl. We love him and we appreciate him. We value him greatly. And I pray, Father, that you would do two things. Continue to help him to find ways to pray and rejoice and contribute to so many lives. But Lord, I would also just selfishly pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would touch him, that you would bring about greater healing to Carl so that he could be even more useful to you. Father, thank you for this brother. Be with him and bless him today. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, Carl.
Hi, I'm Sandy, and I just want to ditto what Carl has been saying, is that that's my lesson, too, for the last year and a half, is just to live 12 minutes at a time. I think the 12 minutes comes from a lawyer charges you 12 minutes at a time. Isn't that terrible? I'm going to write a book one day. But anyway, I don't know if that's true, but somebody said it was. But, you know, God just put it on my heart, that's all I can do is just live 12 minutes at a time in my life. And even the other night I was reading a book and it was saying the same thing, to live in the present. Because, you know, when you dig up the past and you keep looking back, you're wasting the time that you're having right now to breathe and to live and to praise and to just be, you know, what God wants you to be. And if I'm living in the future, then I'm controlling, and I'm trying to plan my steps, and I'm trying to make my way when maybe God doesn't want me to be there. And so right now, God is here right this moment. And he'll be in my future. He was in my past. But right now, I want to live for God. And this is exactly where he is. I'm not good at it yet, but learning.
Thank you, Sandy. You got 9.5 minutes left, you know.
I'm Mike, by the way. Got some things that are going on at work that are transitional, and I've asked a couple of people to pray for me to be able to handle the changes and all of that, and to still have the proper way to look at my fellow employees and management from an eternal perspective. I want to be praying for them. I want to hopefully be able to share the gospel with them and to lead them to Christ. And so I need to not be at odds with them if I'm going to do that, obviously. So this week I was spending some time with the Lord in 1 Corinthians, and a couple of verses just kind of shot off the page at me. And I think there is one thing that I'd like to say about looking to the future that is encouraging. So let me read what it says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 4 through 9. Paul says, "I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." And here's the future thing. "He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful." And that's just great to be able to be reminded of that in the midst of what we're facing, that we do have an eternal hope that is very positive for us. And even though we might not be experiencing that blamelessness on a daily basis, mainly because we're not looking at it, our position from that perspective, God sees us that way, and he is faithful to bring us into our eternal home with him as being blameless. And that's kind of an awesome thing to think about.
Thank you.
Still live, I think. Hi, I'm Jim. Some of you are aware in the last 27 months of my retirement, I've been involved in postgraduate studies and doing research. And through a strange collection of events, as God does, he got me into researching Ephesus Group Ministries immersion experience, which has been interesting. And so I've conducted some 45 interviews here recently. And one of the interesting things that I've found is that there's nothing like living in God's unconditional love. You agree with that? And when we come to know Christ, that seems to be just what we tie into, is that God unconditionally loves us. But somewhere along the line, a lot of us get derailed from that through our life background or whatever. And so what the immersion experience, like many other things that God has brought about, is an opportunity to be reminded of his unconditional love for us and how he touches us to the core. And if there's an upbringing, if there's some emotional attachments that just really somehow fog that relationship with God, we need to work through that and see some truth so that God's unconditional love will just shine on me. And so that has been just such a neat experience to be able to enter into people's lives and to see him working in such amazing ways. So I just wanted to share with that. That's kind of, a lot of times you think of research and like that, man, how boring, how dry, and whatever. But it's been really a delight of my life. So thank you.
Squeak, squeak. Tony told me recently he didn't want to live in our house anymore because the floor was so squeaky and old, and we live in a really old house. I went, well, that's the best part about it, is you know where everybody is.
I think it's his knees, not the floor.
Maybe. I'll tell him that. Gosh, all the things that have been said are just exactly what's going on in my heart. And the unconditional love piece has been so huge for me over the last few years, to just recognize that it's not about anything I do. And then that leads right to what Carl started with, that it's all about just being in the moment and just whatever is happening right now. I don't have to plan out my whole life or collect everything from the past and tie a nice big bow on it and make it worth it. But if I'm just allowing God to flow through me, maybe with not real great plans or structure behind it, and that's contrary to my natural way of being, because I feel like I really like to have things planned out and it looks better that way. But I think in my life I've seen that it really doesn't look better that way. And so I think I've just felt freed in the last few years to not have to do that anymore. And this week I was reading something that talked about the should versus the would. And I think a lot of things we do in life are because we really feel like we should do it, or somebody else wants us to, or it's the right thing to do, or it's being a good Christian to do that. But when you change that to what I would do, that has a lot more to do with our will and what we want to do. And for me, that has helped me to identify what has God put in me and where am I gifted and what is Him flowing through me. And then it's kind of wrapped up with, I really want to do those things. So it's given me kind of a new insight, and it's all wrapped up with being in the moment and being loved unconditionally and giving that love unconditionally to others. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but go into this week going, what do I want to do? And maybe that's what God wants you to do too.
I'm back again. Mike, I think. No, as some of you know, I came to the Lord about 3 years ago, right here at Riverside. And I always wondered, you know, how God was going to work through me, and if He was going to work for me, or how that looked, or what I was supposed to do. And I belong to a group in town, it's the Boise Wine Club, and kind of a strange place to do ministry, but I met this lady a year ago, and the first night we met, she looked at me and she said, you're going to be my friend. And I went, okay, I'll be your friend. However that looks. But over the year, she was involved with three or four guys and had some relationships and stuff, and she'd always text me when she had a problem and ask for my advice, because I'm much older than she is. And so I'd give her my advice, and I'd talk to her, and you know, it came about one day she was talking about how she believed in God, but all gods were the same. And I said, well, that's not quite true. And we started talking a little bit, and she said to me that night, she said, you're an interesting fellow. Well, about a month ago, she texted me, and she said, I've come to the Lord. I'm giving my life up to the Lord, and I'm rejecting all that other stuff I've been doing. And I went, wow. And just the other day, she texted me, and she said, I want you to come Sunday night at 5. I'm being baptized. So, you know, I still don't know how much influence I had, but I know God was working through me.
Hi, I'm Fred. One of the things that we have to do as MAF missionaries is go out and visit folks that support us, churches, sharing their services and just what is happening with us and with MAF, and to report back what has happened in the last years or that since we've seen them last. And we had the opportunity to do that several Sundays, the beginning of this, last month actually. And one thing I found that as you share what God has been teaching you, it tends to nail it down a bit harder, a bit firmer in your heart. And it's as you hear their stories and as God allows you to just pour out what he's been teaching you, it gives new understanding to some things that he's working in your life. One of the questions we were representing MAF at a STEER conference. STEER is an organization that uses agricultural people to help support missions through raising cows or grain or whatever it is. And we have several people that are involved in that to help support us. And as we were in this conference, we had these high school students come through from a Christian high school. And one of these 11th graders came up to me, and he had to ask these questions. And so it wasn't original, because I saw him read it off of his sheet. But for his Bible class, he had to give a report. And one of the questions he asked me was, so what do you consider as key in your Christian walk? I only had to think maybe 15 seconds. But I think prior to 2 years ago, I would have thought, it's Bible reading and prayer time and you know, it's all of these good things. But the thing that came to mind when I was and I shared with him was, you know, what I have found recently is that the most important thing is to understand just how much God loves us, to begin to grasp it. We'll never totally understand that. It's far beyond anything. But if we can start to grasp that, it automatically starts increasing our love for him. And as that love grows, it automatically outflows into things that honor God. Reading, praying, loving, encouraging, doing things for others. I had it backwards. I always thought, well, I'm a Christian, so I have to show it. And I have to do these things. And I burned out. I fizzled. And it's been so refreshing to have this new understanding just turned upside down. And then the opportunity to be able to share this with different people as we visited. One case, we had a farmer who was right in the middle of harvest of soybeans. And so we told him, look, we don't expect you to stop and sit down and talk. I'll just ride with you on the combine. And so it was nighttime, and he had an hour or two left to go. So I stood up. These new combines now have buddy seats. They're comfortable. It's amazing. In fact, he just pushed the button, and the thing just lined up and just did its own thing, and he didn't even steer. He just ate the supper I'd brought him from his wife. But as we were, what a neat opportunity. He's not real busy, but he has to be there to monitor everything and turn the combine around to get the next row. What a neat opportunity to start just to share what's going on and what's going on in their lives. And me just sharing some of these truths, and he just kind of blah with things and struggles that he's had. And just being able to encourage and then pray with him. I encourage you to do that with folks that you come in contact with. Share what God's teaching you. You'll be surprised what happens.
My name's Barry, and what I'm thankful for is the men that come to our small group. When we all meet like this, you know, a lot of times there's opportunities, but we kind of tend to come and go and not really show everything that's going on in our lives. And I tell you, to have the men in the small group that as we get to know one another and care for one another and pray for one another, thankful for those guys. And we've been together a little bit, and we know we're not perfect. You know, I always liked the sign that used to be out front. I couldn't find it on my phone. I've got a copy of it someplace. But I tell people, I said, this is the sort of church that I go to. And they go, oh, I wish I went to a church like that. You know, that we all realize we're all broken. We all have struggles. And in that group, there's the opportunity for honesty. Because sometimes we do put on the mask. And we come to church, and how are things going? Oh, yeah. And not that that's wrong, but it's not really the place sometimes. But I'm so thankful that we have our men's group. And I'd encourage you, if you're not part of a group, Mark, Zark, do I get a bonus for this?
We'll double what you got before.
Okay. Yeah. I encourage you to find a place that you can be authentic, and to find a place where you can be known to others and they can be known to you. And that's a real place of support for me. Some of you know I've been going through some real challenges. Just ask for your prayers in my life and in our marriage. And I know those guys are there. I can call them at any time. And when they see me, they know what's going on in my life, and I know what's going on in their life. And I'm thankful for all you guys that come. Thanks.
Hi, my name's Rock. Have family in this weekend because we celebrated my aunt and uncle's 50th wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. Yesterday over in Caldwell at Orphan Annie's restaurant there, and had a bunch of family together and friends, and it was fun kind of looking at all the old pictures, and actually my sister and I were in their wedding. I was 3 years old at the time, and it was just fun to see that. I was at the very beginning of it, and now 50 years later here they are, and just celebrating them and loving on them. And but I think as I was reflecting a little bit on that experience, it just again reminds me whenever our family does get together, is just God's work in our family's life through just a lot of brokenness, a lot of pain, but God's redemptive hand in our family, you know, just again, just reminded of that last night, all of us being together as a family and just seeing the pockets of God's Spirit at work, you know, in our family. And so I'm just thankful for that.
So I think it's kind of funny because I tend to praise God through music and I can't hear. So I have a hearing aid, but I tend to, it's kind of funny because all the music I listen to is Christian rock and screamo, which normally people are like, is that an oxymoron? Like, no. But so, and I'm just glad that I have friends and family that always have my back.
I'm Billy Mogensen. Angie was laughing because she knows this is really hard for me to narrow down what to share, but I'm going to try. I just got the 2 minutes. I'm going to look 2 minutes. Okay, cut me off. And I really do just feel spoiled, honestly. I feel like I could share so much of what God is teaching me, how He continues to mature me, and, you know, just recently feel like there's things He's been trying to mature in me and work out in me, and it's for years and finally took a step. So stuff going on personally that way, or even just, you know, some of the basics of reading my Bible and praying, I feel like He's still trying to help me grow there, but I'm seeing the results of that, and it's been exciting. I feel like I'm in a season where this is generally not true, but where I'm reading stuff in the Word, and it's just stuff jumping out at me. I'm like, man, I've read this so many times, but I can't believe I missed that or I forgot that. So that's been really fun, actually. And then just praying specifically for things and seeing him answer. Part of the reason I say I feel spoiled is because of what I get to do. I work with crew, so I work with mostly with college students, primarily Boise State and around Idaho. It's just been fun. I mean, even in this last week, I've in our staff meetings where we share stuff, I'm pulling my hair out, like, what do I share? Because I could literally share for 3 or 4 hours because I've had so many amazing conversations with students. So the summary would be, I feel like I wake up, and this has been maybe a couple decades in process of God getting me here, but try to wake up and just before I do anything else, I'm tempted to grab my phone and start looking at the news, but I'm like, no, I'm just going to pray first. And usually just pray, God, do whatever you want to do with me today. I'm going to go down to campus. I have no idea what the conversations are going to be like. Would you just do whatever you want to do? And a couple times specifically this week, one was weird. I don't know if I've ever prayed this, but I said, would you give me insight into whatever I'm hearing from a student to identify what's going on and then give me words from you that would just pierce their soul? And I saw that happen. The short version, I took a student with me who wanted to learn how to just initiate spiritual conversations. So we met up, found a girl sitting behind us, said, let's talk to her. And so we started talking. She turned out to be a Christian, really struggling though, freshman, away from home. I could go on and on. She just, kind of like Fred said, blah, she just shared all this stuff and was able to identify a few things, some lies she was believing, some about herself, about I'm worthless, I'm this and that, and just able to look her deep in the eye and say, that is a lie. That is not true. That is not you. And then to speak truth. Here is what God says about you. Here is how he views you. And really just to watch her kind of melt, like in a good way, like, wow. And thank us over and over. Thank you so much for talking to me. Which what's funny about it is the student with me was scared to death. We're going to go talk to someone that we don't know. And over and over and over this week, we get done talking, and they're like, I asked her afterwards, I said, what'd you think of that? And she said, that was awesome. It's like, I can't believe that. She shared this. That was so cool, and on and on. And that happened so many times this week. And I feel like I'm just along for the ride of what God is doing, where students, I'll ask them a question, they'll say, I don't think it's any coincidence that you picked me to talk to today. And I don't always go out initiating with people I don't know, but this week we were doing that, and it was just like, man, God was doing some cool stuff. I wish I could share all the stories, but the last note would be, I think it was all related to prayer. Talked to one student who really is running from God, but texted and said, man, in the midst of all this, I had something weird happen. I literally felt people praying for me. Emotionally, physically, it was weird. I won't go into the details, but said, I know people are praying. And I said, yeah, that's right. And other points where it was just like, wow, that was exactly what was prayed for. And there it is. It's happening. So God is just reminding me, yeah, all that about praying, yeah, it actually matters and works. So it's been fun. So I praise God for that.
Six and a half.
All right, I'll try to follow Billy up here. My name's Chris, and kind of along the lines of what Billy's saying, just the difference that prayer can make in being available to be used by God in people's lives. So in my work life, I'd say that most of my years probably haven't been used to as great effect as I would imagine that they could have been. I currently most of my job as a sales coach, really, and it's a wireless retail. So there's a very high level of accountability for sales results that can keep people from staying employed where I work. So at times I have a hard time reconciling how to really love people and be available to minister to them and yet have this professional working relationship where I can effectively hold them accountable to those results. And at times, you know, I've had to let people go. So honestly, and maybe some of you can relate, in our work lives, at times it's hard to know how does that work? How can I love these people that work for me and yet still hold them accountable with what we do here for business? So really what I wanted to share is that I just started praying for my employees, which, you know, God is faithful, and when we lift things up to Him, He takes care of the rest that we don't know how to work out. Because I really didn't know where to start with that. So, I've recently had some employees, and if they've been had a Mormon employee, a non-believer employee, just doesn't believe anything really, and then and a Christian employee too, young man who's married with a young child. And I've kind of over the last few months I've started receiving, you know, calls at midnight and employees asking me to come to the back to, you know, pray for them for, you know, challenges that are coming up in their lives. And at first my thought was like, what have I been doing right? And then I realized, no, this is just all God. And it allowed me to just praise Him for being faithful to answer prayer. And I just wanted to encourage you all for those times that you have in your lives at work where people come to you, like, you know, in Billy's stories, you know, this young woman just completely laid it all out. And at times it's really hard to know what to do with that when people just kind of put it all out there for you. But I would just encourage you all to have just the courage and the trust in God to open your mouth and just to respond out of the love that God has shown you, and He'll take care of the rest. So that's it.
Good stuff, Chris. Is there anyone else that has a passion burning to share one more thing? Is it passion and it's burning, Carly? Right? Okay.
My name is Carly, and something that I've been struggling with a lot lately is understanding and knowing when God is answering my prayers. And it's been really hard because I'll have something with I'm struggling with in school or sports or friendships, and I pray about it and I pray about it and I pray about it, and people are always saying, just listen for God, listen for God. And I'm like, that's what I'm doing. Like, there's no connection. He's not calling me on my phone and saying, hey, this is what you need to do. And I've really been struggling with that. And one of my friends at school said, you know, one way that he's answered my prayers, or at least let me know that he's listening to me, is by using other people. And that was, I mean, it probably seems really obvious, but it was really eye-opening for me to understand that. And so a couple weeks ago, I was praying about this thing, and I was just really intentional to listen to the people around me and what they were saying to me. And it was a lot of the kids, a lot of the people I talked to were my classmates, really good Christian guy people. And they all said, you know what, I think that you should hold off on this. I don't think that you should pursue anything with this right now. And for a while, I was like, no, like, you guys don't really know what you're talking about. But after I talked to like 6 or 7 people and they all told me the same thing, I was like, okay, this is probably God talking to me. And it was really neat because although it's not what I wanted to hear, I was able to say that was God, because these aren't people that I just found off the street and said, hey, yes or no, what do you think? It was people that know me and know what I live for, and they were really able to say that to me. And I can firmly believe that that was God working through them. So,
yeah. Thank you, Carly. Anyone else? Thomas, I saw you get up earlier. No, you were just going to the bathroom. Okay, good. You know, a couple of things. Matt, if you and the worship team want to come up, just a thought for you. If you didn't have a chance today to come up here, you didn't feel led to necessarily share with a broader body of people, share with somebody else this week, a friend, your spouse, what the Lord's doing in your life, what He's been showing you. Maybe even say, I'm struggling a little with this. I could use you to pray for me in this area. You know, some themes that kind of surfaced today, pretty clear. Prayer being one of them, that connection with God so that we can be a connection for others. Another one that, you just can't underscore enough is how much God loves us and delights in us and the, you know, would-haves rather than the should-haves. And walking in relationship with Him with this closeness that your life takes on a whole new dimension of sensitivity and care and love toward other people that isn't on a schedule, that's about the opportunities that present themselves. Is there any other themes that stood out to anyone else in here today that you can think of real quick? I'm sorry? Living the moment. Living the moment, whether it be 2 minutes with Billy or 12 with Sandy. Just living in the moment with what's going on. Or 3.5 hours with Diana. That'd work too, huh? Yeah. No, sorry. But yeah, living in the moment. Anything else? Any other themes? Okay.